From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesia may become high-income country in few years. Three provinces in Indonesia ready to be models for low-carbon development. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. Indonesia's marine economy has a lot of room to grow and the country could become a high-income country in the next few years. This was said by Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, as quoted by Antara State News Agency on Tuesday. According to Panjaitan, in 2045, the contribution of the marine sector to the national economy would rise by twofold and continue to grow. At the opening of the Archipelagic and Island States Forum on Tuesday, he said that given the current trend, he believes that Indonesia will become a high-income country in 10 years. The National Development Planning Ministry has said three Indonesian provinces are ready to serve as national models for low-carbon development through the implementation of the International Climate Initiative PEAT and Mangrove Ecosystems Project. According to Director for Forestry and Water Resources at the Ministry, Nur Higiawati Rahayu, on Tuesday, the provinces are North Sumatra, West Papua, and Southwest Papua. She further said that International Climate Initiative PEAT and Mangrove Ecosystems Project supports the government's agenda and achievements on low-carbon development, climate resilience development, and sustainable development goals. Next, we have the Indonesian government, which is currently striving to secure energy transition funding via the Just Energy Transition Partnership Scheme. According to Director General of Renewable Energy and Energy Conservation at Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, Dadan Kusdiana, in Jakarta on Tuesday, the government is striving to get the promised $20 billion fund by affirming commitment to implementing the energy transition. He also said the government needs to make all-out efforts to increase the confidence of the parties involved in the Just Energy Transition Partnership in Indonesia, since the fund is commercial in nature. We end the national news with Deputy Director of the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, or INDEF, Eko Listianto, who has said expanding financial access to unbanked people is a challenge for financial inclusion in Indonesia. At a public discussion titled "The Future of Innovative Credit Scoring After the Financial Sector Development and Strengthening Law" on Tuesday, he noted that opportunities should be provided to unbanked and underbanked people. According to him, it will cause inequality if only banked people are encouraged, while the same is not offered to unbanked people. Now we move to the international news. A blistering new report by the United Nations Human Rights Office shows that nobody in Russia's war of aggression in Ukraine is without fault and that Ukrainian civilians have been arbitrarily detained by both warring parties, but that the Russian Federation is guilty of most of the crimes and cases of abuse. As reported by VOA.com, the report, which was issued on Tuesday, covers a 15-month period from Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine on February 24, 2022 to May 2023. The documented material is based on 1,136 interviews with victims, witnesses, and others, 274 site visits, and 70 visits to official places of detention run by Ukrainian authorities. The French-based operator stated the migrant rescue ship Ocean Viking rescued 86 people off the coast of Libya on Tuesday as their vessel foundered while trying to reach Europe. As reported by ArabNews.com, a spokesman for the charity stated the rescued, mainly from Gambia and Senegal, were suffering from dehydration, exhaustion, and fuel burns. Most of the migrants were minors trying to cross the Mediterranean on their own without family. Italian authorities have said the passengers can disembark at its port of Bari, which the charity said was still a three-day voyage away. We end the news with a former Singapore Idol judge, already accused of molesting a woman, was given fresh charges on Wednesday of insulting modesty of three women. As quoted by Channel Ni, Ken Lim Chi-Chiang was handed five new charges, taking the total number he faces to six. The total number of alleged victims is now four. Lim is accused of saying and showing things to women at either his Hype Records office or his home between 1998 and 2013 that insulted their modesty. Well, listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
See you. The commentary today, entitled Recovery Program for the Rights of Serious Human Rights Violation Victims, Healing the Wounds of the Nation. The Indonesian government intends to resolve past gross human rights violations on the recommendation of the team for the non-judicial resolutions of serious human rights violations. Indonesian President Joko Widodo emphasized this sincere intention when conveying directions in the launching of the team for the non-judicial resolution of serious human rights violation recommendation implementation program at the former location of the Rumah Gedong incident PD Aceh on Tuesday. President Joko Widodo said the program to restore the rights of gross human rights violation victims is to heal the nation's wounds from past gross human rights violations. According to the president, the wound left a heavy burden on the victims and their families. Previously, on January 11, 2023, President Joko Widodo had stated that the government of Indonesia acknowledged that there had been 12 gross human rights violations, including the 1965-1966 incident, the 1982-1985 mysterious shooting incident, the Talang Sari incident in Lampung, 1989, the Rumah Gedong incident, and the Satis Post in Aceh, 1989, incidents of forced disappearance of persons, 1997-1998, the May 1998 riots, and the 2003 Wamena, Papua incident. It cannot be denied, many hope that the settlement of gross human rights violations will be carried out through the judicial or court channels. Quoting a report by Kompas, based on a Kompas poll, 59.7% of respondents said that the government had not attempted a settlement through the judicial route for the victims or their families. This hope is of course very reasonable because there are victims of human rights violations who are often suspected of being perpetrators and with their families who are stigmatized socially. Indeed, to realize the hopes of the victims of obtaining justice would require a long process and time. The head of state acknowledged that the non-judicial settlement process for gross human rights violations in Indonesia required a long and very lengthy process. Hopefully, the non-judicial settlement of these gross human rights violations will open the door for a judicial settlement. As stated by President Joko Widodo, that no process is wasted. It is hoped that the start of this good process will pave the way for efforts to heal the existing wounds. The beginning for the development of a just, peaceful, and prosperous life on the foundation of protection and respect for human rights and humanity. Hopefully, there will be no more gross human rights violations in Indonesia. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia.
The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on June 28, 1914. Crown Prince of the Kingdom of Austria-Hungary, Prince Franz Ferdinand and his wife, Sophie, were shot dead by Bosnian Serb nationalists during an official visit to the Bosnian capital, Sarajevo, on June 28, 1914. The assassination of Prince Franz Ferdinand was one of the triggers for the outbreak of the First World War. Moving on to June 28, 1944, about Mandor Massacre in West Kalimantan, Indonesia. Mandor Massacre happened on June 28, 1944 in Mandor, Landak District, West Kalimantan. The perpetrators were the Japanese Navy, who suspected rebellion being carried out by intellectual civil servants, politicians, community leaders, religious leaders, to commoners from various ethnicities, ethnicity or religion. Arrest took place between September 1940 and early 1944. According to available data, the number of victims of Mandor massacre was more than 21,000 people. However, the Japanese rejected this statement and considered that there were only 1,000 victims. We end today in history with June 28, 1965, when the national newspaper Kompas was born. Kompas Daily was founded by Petrus Canisius Ojong and Jacob Utama. Initially, it was proposed to be named Bentara Rakyat according to the name of the foundation that founded it. However, Indonesia's first president Sukarno proposed the name Kompas, which means direction guide. Kompas Daily was published first time on June 28, 1965 in Jakarta. Well, listener, that was today in history from Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani said the foreign investment coming into Indonesia stays strong despite of the uncertain global economy and the rising interest rate in the developed countries such as the Fed. Quoting from Antara in an online press conference on Monday, Sri Mulyani said Indonesia is still considered a stable positive with an impressive growth. The finance minister recorded the foreign investment in the Indonesian bond market was 80.79 trillion rupiah year to date per June 21, 2023. The foreign investment in May 2023 was 6.67 trillion rupiah and 13.62 trillion rupiah month to date in June 2023. For the stock market, the incoming foreign investment was 16.87 trillion rupiah. However, in the month to date wise, there was 3.71 trillion rupiah outflow. On the other hand, the foreign investors' portion in the government debt papers increased a bit, but the finance ministry recorded the banking investors and Bank Indonesia still dominated it. The foreign investors' share in the government debt papers per June 21, 2023 was 15.45%, 23.1% share for banking and 25.6% for Bank Indonesia per June 21, 2023. Besides, the finance minister Sri Mulyani said, rupiah stays stable amid US spike in interest rate. Even rupiah tends to appreciate, and according to Sri Mulyani, this showed trust for Indonesian economy as supported by the prudent fiscal and monetary policies that have become a good combination in preserving the Indonesian economy and foreign positive view of it. Not only Indonesia, foreign investment to other developing countries also stays strong. According to Sri Mulyani, total foreign capital to developing countries was predictably around $10.4 billion as of May 2023, with $6.9 billion for stock market and $3.5 billion to the bond market.
Dapat memejamkan mata, terasa berat, bagai diri terikat mimpi.
Ku ingin satu cerita mengantarku tidur, biar ku terlelap, mimpikan hal yang indah, lelah hati tertutup.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Wherever you travel, there are always items to bring home as unique city souvenirs. Garut in West Java is no exception. The city that is nicknamed Swiss Van Java has also a variety of unique, even global, creative economic products. Creative products that are the pride of the Garut people include processed leather and craft arts. Not only unique and have artistic value, these products are also exclusive because you can't find them anywhere else. The first place that you must visit when you are in Garut is the Sukaregang Leather Craft Center, which has been known as a paradise for lovers of leather-based handicraft products since 1920. Located along Jalan Ahmad Yani to Jalan Gagak Glumayung, the Sukaregang Leather Center is open every day from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Western Indonesia time. The products sold here are a collection of all the productions of leather craftsmen scattered throughout the Garut area. For those of you who prefer crafts made from vetiver, which are usually processed into essential oils and various beauty products, in Garut you will find vetiver, which is transformed into various crafts such as prayer mats, keychain, bags, tablecloth, and paintings that can beautify home decorations. The use of vetiver as a basic ingredient for these products is unique and only exists in Garut. Apart from vetiver crafts, Garut also has its own unique fabrics. We know that almost every region in Indonesia has traditional fabrics, and so does Garut. Yes, Batik Garutan RM. Like batik in other areas, RM's Garutan written batik is also culture that has been passed down from generation to generation and has survived to this day. The characteristic of this batik is that it has a basic color of ivory yellow and blue, with a variety of beautiful motifs such as awibuk batik, cigars, stones, CF branches, merakibing, and bulu hayam. There is no need to doubt about the quality, because it has been recognized on the world stage, one of which is Canada. Besides leather crafts, batik, and vetiver, Garut is also famous for its snacks, namely dodol, which is made from the main ingredients of glutinous rice flour and palm sugar. Now, dodol has various types. There are date dodol, chocolate dodol, and fruit dodol. Garut is also known for its natural attractions such as Kamojang Crater, Derajat Peak, Changkuang Situ, Bagendit Situ, and hot spring tourism. Garut is indeed located not far from the city of Bandung, the capital of West Java Province. The distance between Bandung and Garut is about 70 kilometers to the southeast and takes about 2 hours. Also, with the access to the Trans Java Toll Road, it makes the city of Garut even easier to reach and visit.
Sebagai yang tak kasat mata, tak dapat disentuh walau kau bisa menyentuhnya. Tak dapat dirasa walau seluruh ragamu di sana. Dapat kau menjaganya tanpa harus mengurungnya. Bayangkan bila kau sebagai yang tak kasat mata, abu yang berterbangan tak dapat melukaimu. Panasnya surya bahkan membuatmu terbuai dan berlagu, dan kau dapat menyusupi rongga jiwa yang kosong. Yeah. Hidupmu pun kan terisi dengan ajaran-ajaran. Melihat, mendengar dan melihat
hidup manusia. Nafas hidup manusia.
Of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Today's topic is Berwisata di Sawah Lunto. Berwisata di Sawah Lunto, which means traveling in Sawah Lunto. So stay tuned. We're going to present to you a conversation entitled Situs Kota Pertambangan Paling Tua di Asia Tenggara. Situs Kota Pertambangan Paling Tua di Asia Tenggara, which means the oldest mining city site in Southeast Asia. This conversation happens between Chris George Robinson, a vlogger from Australia and a tourist guide in Ombilin Charcoal Mining Site. The tourist guide informs about Ombilin Charcoal Mining, which is the oldest mining city in Southeast Asia. Let's listen to the conversation.
Tambang batubara Ombilin merupakan situs kota pertambangan paling tua di Asia Tenggara.
Kapan situs ini dibangun?
Situs ini mulai dibangun pada tahun 1888.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word 2 times, and you can repeat after me. Tambang batubara Ombilin. Tambang batubara Ombilin, which means Ombilin charcoal mining. Merupakan. Merupakan, which means is. Situs. Situs, which means site. Kota pertambangan. Kota pertambangan, which means mining city. Paling tua, paling tua, which means the oldest. Di Asia Tenggara, di Asia Tenggara, which means in Southeast Asia. Tambang batubara Ombilin merupakan situs kota pertambangan paling tua di Asia Tenggara. Tambang batubara Ombilin merupakan situs kota pertambangan paling tua di Asia Tenggara, which means Ombilin Charcoal Mining is the oldest mining city site in Southeast Asia. Tahun 1888. Tahun 1888, which means in 1888. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, Tambang Batu Bara Ombilin merupakan situs kota pertambangan paling tua di Asia Tenggara. Tambang Batu Bara Ombilin merupakan situs kota pertambangan paling tua di Asia Tenggara, which means Ombilin Charcoal Mining is the oldest mining city site in Southeast Asia. In the sentence, there is an expression, paling tua, paling tua, which means the oldest. It is used to state a comparison between two things or objects. The word paling, paling, which means the most or EST, is followed by the adjective tua, tua, which means old, to state that Ombilin Charcoal Mining City is the oldest one compared to the other mining city sites in Southeast Asia. Let's listen to the other examples to use the word paling, paling, which means the most or EST, to state comparison between two things or objects. Paling besar, which means the biggest. Danau Toba adalah danau paling besar di Sumatera. Danau Toba adalah danau paling besar di Sumatera, which means Lake Toba is the biggest lake in Sumatra. Paling luas, which means the largest. Taman Nasional Kerinci Seblat merupakan taman nasional paling luas di Sumatera. Taman Nasional Kerinci Seblat merupakan taman nasional paling luas di Sumatera, which means Kerinci Seblat National Park is the largest national park in Sumatra. Batubara, which means charcoal, consists of two words, namely batu, which means stone, and bara, which means coal. Based on the physical character, the word batubara means a burning stone because it can be fueled after going through combustion. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Tambang Batubara Ombilin merupakan situs kota pertambangan paling tua di Asia Tenggara.
Kapan situs ini dibangun?
Situs ini mulai dibangun pada tahun 1888.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Resapi, jamkan dan jangan berhenti. Karena sebuah pertanyaan perlahan menghampiri. Mendekat dan merusak sistem kerja otak kiri. Setiap detik berdetak, menusuk-nusuk di hati. Kembali teringat raut wajahmu diangan. Taburan cinta mengikuti sebuah senyuman. Yo, tapi dalam hati ini tak bisa ungkapkan. Nyaliku menciut, terlalu siang untuk diucapkan. Sekali lagi ku ingin kau mengerti. Rasa cinta ini sungguh sangat menyakiti. Tapi ku hanya makhluk yang tidak bermateri. Dipandang sebelah mata, tak punya reputasi.
Seakan mataku tertutup. Ku ingin cinta ini dapat kau sambut. Harapkan perasaan ini kau tahu. Sungguh ku ingin kau jadi
sekali ku katakan aku suka padamu. Namun cinta ini siksa jika ku gak ada kamu. Hendak jiwa kan mengikatmu di sisi. Namun berat untuk mengucap, cukup untuk ku kagumi. A, B, C, D. Ku harap kau mengerti. Semua ini bukan cerita narasi deskripsi. Hanya perasaan suka namun sulit hati berkata. Bukan fiktif sedikit naif, hanya sebuah realita. Cinta ini derita, ku harap kau juga merasa. Apa yang ku rasa tanpa banyak tanda tanya. Rasa ini fakta, selektif bukan posesif. Ku tak ingin berdusta, ku cinta kau bunga.
Seakan mataku tertutup. Ku ingin cinta ini dapat kau sambut. Harapkan perasaan ini kau tahu. Sungguh ku ingin kau jadi milik.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations, Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
VOI listeners, today's edition of Music Corner presents a traditional song from West Sumatra entitled Laruik Sanjo. The song Laruik Sanjo was composed by Asbon Majid. The lyrics are in the form of rhymes and contain figurative words in Minang traditional language. Laruik Sanjo tells about a woman's determination to be loyal to her lover. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song Laruik Sanjo by Intan Laxmi. Enjoy!
Sampai
Voice of Indonesia.
Baju kurung onde-onde lah si baju kurung basah lendang suto alui dan mamanya mania sarong babunggo banang ameh tanunan lamu salobi ludu hijau hitam babunggo pulo baju kurung onde-onde si baju kurung baju kurung onde-onde si baju kurung. Yonan raja baju kurang kurang koto ganya langannya lawe badannya disangat jo lapang sanggonyo bule basun tiang jo bungo kambang baju kurang onde onde si baju kurang baju kurang onde onde si baju kurang baju kurang onde onde si baju kurang baju kurang onde onde si baju
Of Indonesia.
Para sayan badan